الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا يعصوب الدين، السلام عليك أيها المظلوم. صلوات Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa a'zam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bi amir al-mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi afdalu salawati wa tahiyyat. Tonight we have two occasions coinciding each other, at least one of the possible nights of the night of Qadr, and also coinciding with a night that in its morning, during the morning prayer, Imam al-Alameen, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Wasiyyu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam will be struck, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, will be assassinated. And because of that, the lovers and the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, from tonight they will be mourning this sad occasion. And here, on behalf of all of you and my humbleness, I convey my condolences to our present Imam, Imam al-Hujjah ajjalallahu ta'ala farajul sharif. Inshallah, we will be speaking more about the significance and the meaning of Laylatul Qadr. Tonight, as preparation precisely for Laylatul Qadr, there is a fundamental prerequisite to meet Laylatul Qadr for those who want to have their needs met, alright, and their sins forgiven. We just finished the Amal, and you remember that one of the fundamental needs that we have, that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt have brought it to our conscience, is keep asking, Ya Allah, Allahumma ja'alni min utaqaika min annar. Ya Allah, include me tonight and these nights among those who are freed from the hellfire. That means that I am not. That means if in this situation, unless I'm forgiven, I die, I will not be among those who are freed from the hellfire. One of the fundamental prerequisites for being forgiven these nights is I should show in practice that I deserve to be forgiven. How should I show in practice that I deserve forgiveness? Follow the lifestyle of your Imam, who was Imam al-Afin. The topic for tonight, combining the issue of Laylatul Qadr and talking about the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is Imam al-Afin, Imam Ali, the Imam of the forgivers, those who forgive. All people that you can imagine, they forgive and they have a big heart to forgive. Imam Ali alayhi salam is their Imam, meaning that he is the leading figure for them. If God forbid you are among those that if they believe, whether our belief again is right or wrong, this is a different story. If you believe someone has been unfair to you on a family issue, on a business issue, related to dunya usually, huh? Rahmatullah alayhi, my dad was saying that no one ever complains that, "Aga, why is he praying more namaz shab than me? I'm upset with him because he prays more namaz shab than me." There's no argument over the spiritual things. It's about dunya usually the argument. Anyway, if I'm that kind of person that I believe somebody has been unfair to me and I find it difficult to forgive him, it's not because of what he had done to me, the offense was so big. It's because my heart is so small. That's why constantly we should read this dua, "Rabbi shrahli sadri," "Ya Allah, expand my heart," so that my heart is like an ocean and beyond. In an ocean, a whale dies, no odor, no bad smell at all. In a glass of water, a fly drops, you throw the water. It's because of the capacity, the volume of different people. That different people have different volumes. We are, inshallah, loving Imam Ali and Ahlul Bayt and trying to follow their footsteps to expand our volume. So that forgiving, not only is easy for us, it becomes a pleasure as for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And once I have that character of easy go to forgive, some people in family issues I've come across them, she says, "I will never forgive him, never ever." Don't ever say never ever. Don't ever say never ever. Now inshallah you will forgive. Inshallah I'll share with you some of the ayat. God says that, "Don't you want me tonight to forgive you? Show that forgiving is a virtue for you. Forgiving is a value for you. And I have a simple question for you. Who has committed the bigger offense? Me, between me and God, or another human equal to me? Still, if my judgment is in order, unfortunately, very often we are wrong in our judgment. Every coin has two sides. But let's say that 100% I'm right and 100% he or she is wrong. Still, if I have the heart to forgive, I say, 'Ya Allah, I'm making a deal with you tonight. Ya Allah, I'm so sinful between me and God. But Ya Allah, that person," and that was the lifestyle of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. Somebody would do unjust to them, like even their maid, their servants, had done something wrong, definitely wrong. Imam Kazim alayhi salam says, "I forgave him and I freed him for the sake of God. May God forgive me." Allahu Akbar. Imam Kazim alayhi salam says that. So in fact, sister, brother, if there is someone in your life that in your opinion you believe that that person has been unfair to you, today you have a golden opportunity. Forgive him and say, "Ya Allah, deal's done. Astaghfirullah," to even mention this. "I've done my bit, Ya Allah, in return you forgive me as well. I don't do it because he deserves it or not. I do it because I'm making a deal with you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself is afuwan qadira. Wa kana Allahu afuwan qadira. Afuw is from the root of afuw. Afuw means bakhshish, means forgiveness. Afuw is sighe mubalagha. That means He's very forgiving. Oft forgiving, we translate it. Infinitely forgiving. That means that 100 times, 2,000 times, 2 million times, "I repented and I broke my promise, again I sleep," God says, "Still come to me, I forgive you." There's no such thing to say that my forgiveness has a limit. And mind you, let me just open a bracket quickly. In Islamic mysticism and Irfan, especially in theoretical Irfan, I try to be very, with all respect, general in my talks, but sometimes I can help it. I have to give a quick, brief, simple explanation to understand some of the ayat of the Quran. In Islamic mysticism, we have a discussion, one of the major discussions in theoretical Irfan is about divine names and attributes. Alright? Now, one of the aspects of discussion about divine names and attributes is that, and you can, I tell you this, from tonight that you read the Quran, read it with this, glasses that I give you, see how many examples you come across. Usually the divine names of Allah mentioned in the Quran, they are coupled. They call it Urafa, they call it Nikahul Asma. Nikah doesn't mean marriage, it means like the coupleness of the divine names. I tell you the secret behind it, inshallah, tonight. Like this example, that because of this example, I had to give this explanation. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًّا قَدِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, almighty. قَدِير, yani almighty. It means God doesn't forgive because He's unable to take revenge. God can well take revenge. He's قَدِير. He's almighty. So forgiving is a virtue if I'm able to take revenge. Yet I said, no, I let go of it. I don't want to take revenge. I'm a father, I can well punish my child, for example. Or I have a position that I can well punish for whatever higher position that I have. You are the boss, you are the CEO, you are the director of your company. You can sack him. But you say that although I have the qudrat, I have the power, the authority, I want to forgive. This is a virtue. كَانَ اللَّهُ عَفَوًا غَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again when it comes to forgiveness, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Again, see? Two names you see together. I told you, from tonight you read the Quran, you come across hundreds of examples, coupleness of the names. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. What does it mean? غَفُور, again, it means oft forgiving, very forgiving. But at the same time, He's Rahim, He's most merciful, which means sometimes at best when I forgive someone, I said, all right, I forgive him, but I don't want to see him again. I've got nothing to do with him anymore. Please don't talk to me about him anymore. All right? God is not like this. God says, I forgive you and I'm still so kind and compassionate to you. So merciful to you. Ghafurun Rahim. Deliberately, He brings along with His ghufran and forgiving His rahmah, His mercy, that I'm so kind and caring and compassionate. Isn't it amazing? The one who was full of sins, now that he sought God's forgiveness, God says, you find me so easy to forgive. Ya Sari al-Reza, you can please me so easy. How much time did it take? The core, the main amal of Laylatul Qadr is what you did already. Half an hour. The rest of it is a virtue to do it. But the core, the main was what you did already. And God says, I forgave you already. In one of the nights of Qadr, the Prophet sallallahu, in this ayah is in Surah Shura. If you say salawat, I'll share it with you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and said that those whose rewards are with God, they may proceed. You may go back home and sleep. Rest. Have stress. You are already forgiven. Aren't you here for rewards and forgiveness? You are already forgiven. They looked at each other and said, who is the Prophet talking about? Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, would you please explain? The Prophet of Islam recited this ayah that I want to recite. The ayah is this. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The recompense for an evil, for a bad deed, for an offense, is an offense equal to that. Likewise. So you have the right, if somebody has been unfair to you, you have to write to ask for compensation. You have to press charge him. You have to take him to the court, however you want to take, revenge. But before God tells you the rest of it, already has hinted you that jaza, notice, sayyi means bad, evil. I read the ayah, you follow. Jaza sayyi'atin sayyi'atun mithluha. The recompense for an evil is an evil likewise. So He's already hinting to us, yes, you have the right to take revenge. But to take revenge is evil. Therefore, also sayyi'atun mithluha. It's your right, but it's better for you. وَأَنْتَ عَفُوْ أَقْرَبُ لِلْتَقْوَىٰ. If you want to be among لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If you forgive, أَنْتَ عَفُوْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Another ayah of the Quran. If you forgive, it's better for you, not for the other party. For yourself is better, for your soul is better. You will be elevating yourself, you become closer to me. Because I am عَفُوٌ قَدِيرٌ. If you want nearness to me, start with forgiveness. This is one of my names and attributes. So sayyatun misdad, then the rest of the ayah. This part is the one that I told you in Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet shared it with the community says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever among you forgave, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ, and on the top of forgiving, he did good. Not only said, all right, I forgave you, brother, but I don't want to see you again. I forgave you, but what can I do for you now, brother? Tell me, what can I aslah? Amal salih, good deeds. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Deliberately here, the Prophet says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayah, Surah Shura, makes it like anonymous, or makes it like unknown. What is the reward that has God doesn't say that what is his reward. Sometimes see very often Quran says paradise, rivers, hurul in. Here deliberately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it unknown to talk about the greatness of the reward. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. His reward rests with Allah, who is the most generous. If someone so generous says that I will take care of his debts, and you know he's so well off, so generous, say, okay, brother, you don't have any debt anymore. Finish. Because I know who he is. I know what kind of person he is. So when God says that, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, his rewards is with Allah. Meaning that, rest assured that I will give him until he is satisfied, until he is pleased. That's why Quran says, if you forgive, it's better for you. Quran is even disciplining the Prophet and says, وَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْفَحْ. Let me explain these two words again coming together in the Quran very often. وَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْفَحْ. Forgive them. وَاسْفَحْ is from سَفْحَة. In Arabic and Farsi, maybe in Urdu as well, the page of a book you call it سَفْحَة. Do you have this? Have you heard of this term? سَفْحَة. That means that you forgive and page over. Please turn over. Go to the next page. Meaning that كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Tomorrow you see him. Brother, I feel embarrassed every time I see you in the mosque. Why? Because of what happened, what I had said behind you. What did you say? I couldn't remember anything. And really, you don't remember anything. Quran says, forgive and forget. Allahu Akbar. What a big heart one may have to not only forgive, but also forget. Forget completely. It's so difficult for us to forget, unfortunately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only I forgive, I'm God. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. I convert your evil deeds to good deeds. The bigger and the more horrible your bad deeds was, the bigger your sin and your offense was, the bigger now your good deeds become. Your badil, conversion of bad to evil. Imagine a mountain of evil becomes a mountain of good. This is conversion. We cannot fathom with our rationality, we cannot fathom this ayah of the Quran. I usually just give an example that imagine big pot that those who are making intoxicants wine, that they are boiling it in the process of fermentation, is now wine. They continue fermenting and boiling it until it becomes vinegar. The bigger the container of wine is, the bigger the container of vinegar becomes. Before that, once it was wine, haram to be on the tablecloth. Now that it's vinegar, it's mustahab to be on the tablecloth. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنًا. This is Allah subhanahu. This is our God. This is our Creator. Imam Ali alayhi salam, since I don't have time, go to the examples. Allahu Akbar. For the rest of the night, I can, by the grace of God, sit here and talk about the virtue of forgiveness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and yet we cannot finish. That Quran says that talking about the virtues of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, if the entire oceans on earth, they become ink, and all the trees on earth, they become pens, and you start, jinn and humans, they start writing the virtues of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they will run out of ink and pen, but they will not run out of the virtues of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Who am I talking about tonight? I feel so low and little sitting here tonight talking about one of the thousands of virtues of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, and that is forgiveness. Imam Ali alayhi salam was forgiving, number one, on a person when somebody has insulted him personally, not of the Baitul Mal right, not of the Muslims right, somebody personally insulted him, he was so easy to forgive him. He's walking off the street in Kufa and he's Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. A lady, she's hardly carrying a bucket of water. Apparently her husband was killed in the Battle of Siffin, in the camp of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and her husband was martyred. As she is carrying the bottle of the bucket of water, she is cursing Astaghfirullah Amirul Mu'mineen. May God curse Ali ibn Abi Talib. Look at what he had done to me, and I'm left with how many children, orphan children. I have to carry the water home. I have to look after my children. Imam Ali overheard him. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. He goes to her and says, "Sister, may I help you, please?" Jazakallah khaira, brother. And the Imam is carrying the bucket of water. And she's walking behind. She keeps cursing Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amirul Mu'mineen. And the Imam is carrying the water for her. Allahu Akbar. Doesn't say who I am. As they walked a bit further, people passing by, "Salaamu alaikum, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salaamu alaikum, ya Amir." The lady comes for, says that, "Who are you, brother?" Ali ibn Abi Talib. And does it say, "I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen"? Abdullah Ali ibn Abi. "Ya Allah, I'm perished. You are, I'm so sorry." The Imam says, "On the contrary, I have to apologize from you that I was oblivious of your situation. May God forgive Ali ibn Abi Talib that someone, a widow in his territory, in his government, is not looked after, is abandoned. No, sister, I have to carry it to your house. Deal's done." As much as she insists, the Imam refuses and says that, "I have to carry it myself." Takes it to her house, to the doorstep, and "Salaamu Alaikum, Salaamu Alaikum." Later in the evening, the Imam carries some sacks of flour, food, and goes to her house himself, not sending the servants or anyone. "I want to carry it myself." You know, a common practice of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt is that their backs, after even Imam Hussein, after the Shahada, they have witnessed that on their back there were marks of as if somebody had flogged them, because of the ropes of the sacks of food that they used to carry in their life at night secretly to the house of the poor and needy people. Those who care in their lives about poor and needy people and share part of their wealth, they should have some hope, inshallah, that are on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam knocks on the door of her house. "Who is it?" "I'm the same brother, sister. I brought you some food." "Bismillah, come in." The Imam says that, "Either I cook, it's better I bake the bread for you. You look after your kids. Moms are better to look after their kids." Look at this scene. The forgiving Imam. Look at his character, how he's converting her practically to among the lovers of Amirul Mu'mineen. The Imam starts, and his Amirul Mu'mineen, he starts baking the bread in those traditional oven, and every time she says, "I saw," and I was in tears looking from behind, that Amirul Mu'mineen is like a servant working in my house, bringing his head, his face close to the oven, and says, "Ya Ali, feel the heat of dunya, feel the heat of the oven. You cannot afford the heat of the hellfire. Ya Ali, how were you oblivious of someone in your kingdom, in your territory?" Not that he turns and says, "Who the hell are you? You are insulting me?" So easy to forgive. You've heard the story of Amr ibn Abdawad. Now your brothers, especially the youth, the youngsters, you imagine in the middle of a battle, dueling Imam Ali in the battle of Khandaq, and Amr ibn Abdawad, Imam is knocking him down, sitting on his chest to kill him. And I'm cutting long story short. Forgive me to mention, he spat on the face of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Immediately the Imam left him, forgave him, let him go. Instead of appreciating that, he attacked the Imam from behind, and the Imam again grabbed him and knocked him down. And this time he's about to kill him. This man does not deserve forgiveness. He says, "Ya Ali, before you kill me, I have one question. How come that first time that I spat on your face, any warrior at that time becomes more angry? And with more anger, sever the head. How come you just left me? The Imam says, because that time if I killed you, I killed you for myself, for my desire, because I was angry at you. No, Ali does not raise his sword unless for the sake of God. That time I forgave you. You insulted me, you spat on me, it was a personal issue. I let go of you. Unless you had attacked me, I wouldn't have come back to you. This is Imam Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. During the battle of Siffin, the troops of Muawiyah got control of the river of Furat. They abandoned the troops of Amir al-Mu'minin to access the water. And they said that let them stay in the desert, of thirst they will die themselves. We don't even need to fight them. Let us see how much they can survive in the desert with no water. It's in Nahj al-Balagha, Imam alayhi salam looked at his troops, gave a fiery lecture, subhanallah, and he said that if you want to quench your thirst, soldiers, brothers, you are thirsty, satisfy your souls with their blood, then you can quench your thirst. Provoke them against the enemy. The army of Amir al-Mu'minin attacked the troops of Muawiyah, pushed them away, and now they have access to Furat River. They said, Ahan, Ya Ali, tit for tat. Now we let them die of thirst. Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, وَفِي حَدِّ السَّيْفِ كِفَايَةً. Now we are men. We have magnanimity. Huh? We are not like them. Let them access the water. We are not that kind of person that now we have an upper hand, we don't forgive. We are not people of taking revenge. The troops of Islam, they conquered Mecca after, Ya Allah, how many years since they were in Mecca under the pressure. Medina imposing how many wars on them. One of the troops of Islam, one of the soldiers, as soon as Mecca was conquered and they surrounded, he says, Al-Yam Yawmul Malhama, Al-Yam Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of taking revenge. Today I will cut you into pieces. Remember what you did to Hamza Sayyidu Shuhada. Remember what you did to Shuhada Uhud. Remember, remember. Imam Ali alayhi salam goes to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, look at what they say. They want to take revenge. The Prophet says, Ya Ali, you go and cry, Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama, Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama. Change the chant. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of forgiveness. This is Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Who has been unfair to you? Abu Sufyan? Hind? These were among those who had no doubt that the Prophet of Islam will immediately behead them. The Prophet forgave them. Look at what they did to Amir al-Mu'minin, his son later on. Look at what they did to Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet. The grandson of this Abu Sufyan, look at what he did to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is the history. Tonight we are here, brothers and sisters, and really my heart is started aching. I've got it like a clock internally here. When I speak a little bit, it starts aching. Forgive me. Here we are tonight to say, Ya Imam Ali, I cannot be like you, impossible. But I want to forgive so that I am forgiven, inshallah. That's all about it. Making a deal. A night like tonight, and from some of the previous nights as well, every night Amir al-Mu'minin was a guest in the house of one of his children. Tonight it happened to be the turn for Umm Kulthum. Apparently Umm Kulthum, I'm most likely inclined to believe Umm Kulthum was a nickname for Sayyid Zainab, for Hazrat Zainab. They were one, not the two. Anyway, being tonight in the house of Hazrat Zainab or Umm Kulthum, had a light iftar, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, and Imam Hassan who was there, Imam Hussein who was there, and Zainab hosting the Imam, they said that we noticed that a monk doesn't sleep, walks back and forth in the yard of her house and saying, Wallah ma kazebt, wala kuzeb, innaha hadhihi al-layla, by Allah, I don't lie, and I'm not lying to, meaning that the Prophet had informed him, it is tonight, it's tonight. I can see the signs coming one after the other. Praying, reading dua, namaz, until about azan time. Zainab Umm Kulthum, she says, I went to my father, said that I don't feel comfortable. I feel like something is happening. Please don't go to the mosque to lead the prayer. Three of the Khawarij, they had plotted that on the same day, morning, one goes to kill Muawiyah, one goes to kill Amr As, and one to kill Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Imam says that this is inevitable, this is not avoidable. What has to happen has to happen. And before that, they had really disappointed Amir al-Mu'mineen so much that Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the last days of his life, he kept praying, Ya Allah, malaluni wa malaltuhum. Ya Allah, they bored me and I'm boring them. These people have become so disloyal to me. They don't need me. Ya Allah, take me away. Ya Allah, Imam Ali is praying for his death. And his mustajab al-da'wah was granted to him. He wants to leave the house. Umm Kulthum had some pets, dogs in her house. The dogs came and blocked the way of Amir al-Mu'mineen. These birds, these animals with their instinct, they can feel it. Something is happening. They are flapping. Maybe if somebody could understand their language and say, Ya Ali, kill us, but please stay at home. Imam says, سَوَائِحٌ تَتْبَعُهَا نَوَائِحٌ. You see these birds are flapping, singing, making noises. Soon you will hear the lamentation and crying of the people of Kufa. Soon they will be crying for who they have lost. After I die, then so many families will find out who was that strange man who used to come bring them food every night and never introduced himself. From tomorrow, there is no one to bring food to those houses anymore. And only then you will see, I will tell you that orphans bring milk to the household of the Imam. Imam goes to get to open the door, leave the house, subhanallah. The door is even jammed. The door even doesn't open. The door even is saying that, Ya Ali, please, I don't want to be open before you today. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't leave the house. You know what's happening in the mosque. Nevertheless, the Imam proceeded towards the masjid to lead the morning prayer. As he goes to the yard of the masjid, Ibn Muljam Mal'un, he's lying down on his chest. The Imam with his foot kicks him and he says that this is the sleeping of a hypocrite, the sleeping of a munafiq, hinting to him, what are you up to? Stop it. Because he had his sword on the ground and was sleeping on it. The Imam proceeded to the mihrab. He first himself, he goes up to the minaret, saying the azan. And as he said the azan, he looks at dawn, morning twilight. And he has some words, it's in Nahj al-Balagha, some sweet words with dawn even. Ya Naseem Sahari Bandegi Ma Berasa. You morning twilight, since Ali has been a child, since childhood, there has never been a time that you rose that Ali was asleep. But this is the last moment that you and I see each other. Said the azan and came down, going to the mihrab to lead the prayer. Allahu Akbar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, imagine the scene, brothers, sisters. Imam started the prayer and Ibn Muljam Mal'un, he had placed himself right behind the Imam.
And he himself confessed later on that he had poisoned the soul, so much so, and what a strong poison, that he said that even with that sword, if I could kill the whole people of Kufa, hit the whole people of Kufa, I would have killed them. I was so determined to make sure there is no recovery from this strike. Amir al-Mu'mineen goes to the position of sajda, the nearest position to his Lord. In the house of God, nasib kasi nashod chun in saadat, be Ka'bah veladat, be masjid shahadat. Born in Ka'bah, martyred in the house of God. In the position of sajda, the first sajda, Imam goes to the sajda, everybody goes to the sajda following the Imam. Ibn Muljam Mal'un remains seated. Unshielding his sword, getting ready to strike. Ashqal awwalina wal akhirin. As soon as Imam sat up from the sajda, all of the sudden, with all the power that he had, he struck the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Asadullah al-Ghalib, Yasub al-Din. The head of the Imam split into two, Ya Allah. And the blood goes gushing out. All what they heard from the Imam were two words. Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. Ali now is prosperous. Ali was longing for this moment to give his blood for the sake of God. And then the Imam says, arrest him so that there is no bloodshed between the tribes after him. Ya Allah. In that very moment, people heard a heavenly cry, apparently Jibreel crying, Tahaddamat wallah arkanul huda. The pillars of guidance just collapse. وَانْفَصَمَتْ الْعُرْوَةُ الْوُثْقَى. The strong rope of Allah is now broken. قُتِلَ عَلِيٌّ الْمُرْتَضَى. قُتِلَ وَسِيٌّ الْمُصْطَفَى. قَتَلَهُ أَشْقَى الْأَشْقِيَى. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ على القوم الظالمين. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةَ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.